Father, thank you for this evening, and we thank you for your grace. Thank you for clarity as touching the inward witness. Thank you for spirit of supplication in this place. Give you all glory in Jesus' name. Now as we touch the inward witness, we receive clarity, insight into your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, so we're going to be continuing on our conversation on the inward witness. We have been having this conversation for some time, not too much of a long time, but I believe that we're going to stay on it. We're going to stay on it till we get a full grasp of it and also walk in the experience that this comes with, the inward witness. And I'm hoping you all are putting it to work. Some way, somehow, you are realizing it. You're getting to pick up some impulses from your spirit as you pray. And I believe that you're getting it right all the time. All the time. I remember one time I had left the house. I was back at Kaswa by then, and I was going for evangelism. Not knowing that I had not locked the door to where I was staying. I remember just leaving the house, walking about 30 to 45 seconds, and I started to sense on the inside of me this uneasiness. You know, so I looked around me and I said, Lord, I'm going for evangelism. What is wrong about evangelism? I'm going for evangelism. And you know, that time I had told myself that I will never skip a day of evangelism. So I said, whatever happens today, I'm not going to skip it. Even if I don't feel okay about it, I was still not going to skip evangelism. So I went. While I was going, people of God, it's so real. That's what I can explain, or that's how I can say it to you. That's why I'm teaching you via word, God's word, and I'm sharing with you the experiences. I still left. I was going. You know, deep in my heart, there was this, I would call it an agitation, or would I call it a strong sense of sorrow seated on my heart. It was very strong. So I sat in the car, got in the car. It took me 2 hours to get to Legon by then. So I sat in the car and I knew like my name. I was not supposed to go, because on the inward witness, there was this, and it was so real on my heart. So, but I just left, I went. And you know, the closer I got to the destination, the more grievous I was. Now, I've sensed that a couple of times where I know it. I shared with you experiences on my mother's near-death experience. And that was the same thing that happened. So, I got into evangelism. I got to the place. I got into the first room. And there was this hold back. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I know you don't want me to. I can sense you are not. But I've also made up my mind that I am going for evangelism. And I made up my mind I was not going to break the chain. Right? Now you listen to me carefully. Learn to follow the inward witness. Even in situations where it does not really make meaning. So, I got there. And then I had a call. And somebody called me, "Hey, man of God." I said, "What's happening? Man of God, I just came to your place and I saw that the door is open." And let me tell you what happened. The moment the person gave me that information, it's almost like a weight of grief lifted off me. That's what I can explain it to be. It lifted off me. And suddenly, I was fine. So I smiled. I said, "Oh, Holy Spirit, this was what you were trying to tell me. Like, go back. At least you go for evangelism. But at least go back. You see, at least you go." Because he's not stopping me from going. Because if I'd gone back, right, I would have seen that the door was locked. And I would have locked. And I would have still insisted on going. So the evangelism was not the problem. The door behind was the problem. So, the man, the person came there and the person, you know, locked the door and then took the keys alongside. Now, I was asking the Lord and I said, "I just want to learn. I'm sorry I didn't heed. It will not happen again. Up till now, I don't like to disobey the inward witness. I don't disobey." So, I was asking the Lord, why did you still go at length to save me even though when I didn't yield? He said, "Well, he just had to find someone else who will yield." And that really hurts me, because it means that he wanted to save me. I was not yielding, so he had to find somebody else that will yield. Now, did he find someone else? Of course he did. And that guy also was not coming. He was just coming. Right? He just came. Comes to see that the door is open. Listen to me, I want us all to be very responsible and yielding to the inward witness all the time. Don't have a track record of God passing you by to get somebody to do what he wants you to do. It's not good. It's not a good thing. It means that if he's looking for somebody who is dependable, you will not be that right candidate. So when you have inward impressions of compassion, inward impressions of agony that call you to the place of prayer, inward impressions of grief, don't despise. Don't despise. You will be despising out what God actually wants you to do. And many times it's for your own advantage, or it's to your own advantage. Don't despise it. If God wants you to pray, you didn't pray, He will find somebody else to pray. If He wants you to reach out to someone in love, you never did, He will find somebody else to reach out to them in love. He will always find somebody. But we don't always want Him to, or we don't want Him to be a God to us that finds somebody else to do what He wants them to do. So, you are going to be yielding to the inward witness. Are you listening? Every time. Some of you, there's just an inward witness for things to be done. Please respond to them. Respond to them. Respond to them. We're going to move on to another spirit-inspired emotion for this evening. We said that we're supposed to be expecting the inward witness from within. We're going to be looking at it from within because God put His Spirit within us. We saw that in Ezekiel's accounts on how that the Spirit will be put on the inside. Right? So we're going to expect these leadings of the inward witness from the inside. It's going to come from the inside. Don't expect anything spectacular. Just make sure you're growing in whatever it is that God has given to all of us. I said the previous time that many people are looking out for the spectacular and then they miss out on the supernatural. But that's wrong. Don't look out for something that is very spooky and you miss out on something that is very clean and clear in your heart. Right? Today we're looking at another inward spirit-inspired emotion, which is a function of the inward witness. And it's perceiving. Perceiving is another inward witness. Remember, it's not a yes, it's not a voice, it's not an audible voice, not a vision. It's not a vision. It's not a divinely granted appearance or whatever. It's not anything. It's just an impression. Perceiving. Let's see something in Acts 14 verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts 14 verse 9. Acts 14 verse 9. Can we just pray in the Spirit shortly? Can we just pray in the Spirit? Let's pray in the Spirit.
Ramana Manasi and the Kapaya, 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 Ramana Manasi and the Oh, Rakataya,
Thank you, Jesus. Can we just, wow. Okay, let me just take the opportunity, you know, in the spirit of a meeting to just talk on this or touch on this. You know, I literally came here with a bedding, actually. You know, seated here, about to teach you, and it just won't lift. And it keeps getting stronger till I almost sense something very spiritual on my heart. I'm not exaggerating. I felt like someone was cutting my heart. You know, but as we began to pray and we got to a place, it starts to wane off gradually. Now, if you were, the prayer is the emphasis, but there's a teaching in the prayer. You know, you pray to an extent where, as it lifts, there is a note of victory. Now, the note of victory is going to be either the bedding lifted, there's going to be actions of rejoicing, so that there's going to be either a laughter or a joy or a psalm of victory. And that's what just happened today. I will not be amazed or shocked if there was somebody that needed this prayer as we prayed. So as we pray, we hit the kasha, we hit the place where it's supposed to be, and then the burden lifts. So that's a practical example. I literally sense it. I know it like my name. Yes. I would not be shocked if I had, between the time I was speaking and now, there was somebody that was caught up in something that they needed God's intervention. Maybe close in the ministry, maybe not close. But there's just an intervention of the Holy Spirit. So imagine if you're going to be yielded to God's Spirit in this manner. So I sense peace rushing out effortlessly. But it wasn't like that before. So the bedding is giving, then the prayer is done. Sometimes it could take 10 minutes, it could take 15 minutes, it could take 30 minutes, it could take 1 hour, it could take 5 hours, it could take 10 hours, it could take 12 hours, it could take a 24-hour period. But you just pay attention to, you know, when that lightness comes in the heart, meaning that whatever it is that you have been praying for has been dealt with. And also, when you receive the note of victory, which will come in a psalm, whilst you speak out the psalm. Something as simple as, glory to God, there's victory. That's a note of victory. It's a word of victory that attests to whatever it is you're praying for. There will also be, you know, laughter as you pray it out. You just find yourself laughing. That's the Spirit's way of communicating to you that whatever it is you were praying for has been dealt with. Now, there are also times where you would have to continually deal with that bedding over a period of time till the bedding lifts. So it will not longer be a 30-minute period, a 15-minute period, a 10 minutes, an hour, 24, 12, whatever period it is. It will now take consistent seasons of prayer. So you're going to pray about it. Whenever you get into the prayer room, the bedding comes, then you pray about it. Whenever you get into the prayer room, the bedding comes, and you pray about it. Then you pray about it over a period of time, then the bedding lifts. Right? So I believe that, I believe that these teachings should help, should help us. You should never be caught unawares, people of God. Never be caught unawares. Right? Before something should happen, you should have already caught a bedding and prayed it out of your way. So we move back into our teaching, perception or perceiving. In Acts 14:9, people of God, these things are real. I want you to believe that they are very real. If you've not received a miracle before, you'll be saying, oh, a miracle is not true. A miracle, hey, it's very real. So when I come to you and I teach you these things via God's word, and the Spirit, by His grace, chooses to give us an experience in what we are teaching right now, you don't take it for a joke. It's very, I felt like someone was literally cutting my heart. Like there was a piercing in my heart. But because I know it, I know, okay, that's the Spirit witness to a situation. And I tried to teach. I couldn't teach. I honestly couldn't teach. I couldn't teach. I found myself praying in tongues under my breath, but I couldn't teach. So you're going to practice this. Don't despise it. All right? Acts 14:19, quickly into our teaching. So this is Paul, actually, in Acts of the Apostles, who saw a man who needed healing. But there was an inward witness as to whether the person had faith to be healed. So in Acts 14:9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, this is not an audible voice again that tells you emphatically that the man has faith to be healed, or the man has faith to be healed. It's just a perceiving. You know, it's the word that's used actually for something that is visibly seen. Or we can say that it implies to know or to be aware. Have you got into a season of your life where you just know something? Nobody told you. Nobody told you. Nobody, told you whatever it is that was happening. But you just know. You just know. It's an inward witness. It's what we call a perception. It's the word horio. It's to know something or to be aware of something. And the Spirit makes you aware of something. He makes you aware of something. See, how did you know? I don't know, but I just know. How did you know? I don't know, but I just know. I remember a time where something happened. And I just knew. Nobody gave me any information prior to it happening, or I just knew that that was what was going to happen. So you are going to pay attention to these inward witnesses. So that impression, right, upon the mind, remember, the knowing is on the mind, right? But that transmission is going to be from a place which is the Spirit. So you become aware from within, then it sort of has an influence on the mind. So Paul, actually, in Acts 14, 9, but let's see verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never walked. Verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. Right? So he heard Paul speak. Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul was steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. So it's just a knowing. It's a knowing. You meet a situation that you are supposed to be involved with, you know that you are supposed to be involved with. You meet a situation where you are not supposed to be involved with, you know that you are not supposed to be involved with. Remember the story I told you about grief yesterday? You meet somebody who is hailing you, shouting your name, calling you, and there's this. Today I'm dealing with perceiving, which is knowing, which is not the same in the context of Paul, because he was grieved, right? But this one, you just know that, this person, we need to pay attention to this person. We need to pay attention to this person. We need to pay attention to what this person is doing. You just know that you know that you know. Now, be careful you don't slip off, because there's always an extreme to what I'm teaching you. It's you slip off into wrong presumptions, because sometimes people are naturally presumptuous, and there is a presumption that is of the soul. It's not of the spirit, it's of the soul. You have wrong presumptions. That's not what I'm talking about. That's why I'm going to teach you how that you can sharpen the inward witness, so that the impulses or emotions that you receive from within are going to be right. Or people slip off into the flesh, and it's what's also called suspicion. It's not suspicion. Suspicion is quite different. Suspicion is when you use your reasoning mind, you calculate things, you see the person, like you assess the person from this, you are trying to reason things out. No, that's a function of a soul, it's not the spirit. What I'm talking about in perceiving is that there is an inner worth knowing that has a strong perception on the mind. Right? Now, that inward knowing does not come with any information. Don't forget that. In the inward witness, there's no information. It comes just a knowing. You just know that you know that you know that you know. So, from within the believer's spirit, right, there's going to be an agreement or disagreement to the facts exposed to it. There's a knowing. There's an agreement or disagreement. An agreement or disagreement. An agreement or a disagreement. As you pray about it, there will be an agreement. You just know. You say, no, I don't know. Or a disagreement. And you will not be able to lay your hand on it. I told you, don't look for more information. You know, those will come as a result of other gifts. But just follow humbly what the Spirit of God is saying. Let's see something in Luke 19:45. It's an agreement or a disagreement of God's will in any situation concerning our personal life or His will on the earth. I told you that, right? So that's why we have compassion. We have agony. They are all spirit-inspired emotions towards what God is doing. So in Luke 19, verse 45, Jesus goes into the temple. And what does He do? He began to cast them out that sold therein. It's like He enters there. And there is a spirit-inspired emotion. There's a stare of what He sees them doing in His Father's house. It's a witness. It's what we call a witness. It's an inward witness. It's a response of the inner man to what is happening, to God's plan on the earth, to any situation that you find yourself around. There will be a response if you yield to it. If you yield to it. So Jesus has entered into the temple. Ah, they are selling, doing this. He starts to cast them out. Then he says, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. You see, that emotion of, God's house is supposed to be a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. Then that stares him. It's an inward witness. It stares him to cast people out. Remember, some other cases, Jesus looked upon the people and he was moved with compassion. This one, he enters into his father's house, and his father's house is selling, paying. In his father's house, there's merchandise going on. Now, let's look at John's account on Jesus' response. John 2:14-17. John 2:14-17. That's why I told you that zeal is a supernatural thing. The Holy Spirit causes men's heart to be zealous for God. I'm telling you, it's not a natural thing that you want to serve God. It's not a natural thing. It's a witness of God's call on your life. It's not a natural thing that you just want to serve God with your life. Others might be thinking there's something wrong with you. No, it's because God has called you. The Spirit bears witness to that call. The bearing of the witness of that call is what causes you to want to do something. It's what stirs up zeal on the inside of you. So that's a witness. Witness of the Spirit, of the call of God on your life. But you see, it depends on you whether you yield or not. It depends on you. There are many inward impressions you decide not to yield. Say, I just like church. I don't know. I just like to be amongst prayer people. Be there and don't go. You'll be giving us testimonies that, when we were young, we also had this deal, but you know, tech work took our time. And that was the inward witness. It was a response of God to the call of God. It's not, let me follow it. That's the zeal of God. So John 2:14-17, watch what happens. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, right? He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house and merchandise. Take these things hence, make not my father's house and merchandise. Take these things hence, make not my father's house and merchandise. Take these things hence, make not my father's house and merchandise. Take these things hence, make not my father's house and merchandise. Take these things hence, make not my father's house. And that's the inward witness, is a response of the Spirit. Then the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house had eaten me up. The zeal of thine house had eaten me up. It's to come to a place of knowing, to know something, to be aware, coupled with emotions. You know this is not how it's supposed to be. Yeah. The zeal of thine house has consumed me. The zeal of thine house divorced me. My great love for your house will destroy me. That's what some versions say. My great love for your house, it will destroy me. It has destroyed me. Passing for God's house will consume me. That consummation is an inward witness. Is the spirit saying yes or no to the call of God? That's all. So it's an overwhelming emotion. Zeal is an overwhelming emotion. It's a devotion, a great love, a passion that consumes an individual. The zeal of the Lord was expressed from the Spirit towards what was happening in the temple. That's why when you see someone, you can know that, no, not this. You see a job, no, not this. You see a situation, no, not this. But you would have had to practice it, right? You practice it. You practice it. You will not make the wrong mistakes in any circumstance or under any circumstance. You wouldn't. I was telling someone, and I said, you don't need to, do a lot of things. I said, look out for what the Word of God says. Then follow the inward witness. That's all. Some of you are praying for, what do you call it, partners, boyfriend, girlfriend, or Christian. It's not wrong. These two things I taught you yesterday and today, the 10 p.m. prayer session now, it's the answer. When you pick it, you check. You take. The Word of God says you. You take. Then you now pray based on what you have taken. The moment is wrong, is wrong, is wrong. Don't worry to pray about it. That's not it. So the inward witness, you can't make a mistake. By the grace of God, if you see me, there are some people, for example, they say something, or they seem not to be capable of doing the work that you commit to their hands. But there's just something the Holy Spirit bears witness to that tells you that, don't worry, give it to them. They'll be able to do it. But at that point, they are not able to do the work. Then there's another person who feels very competent to do the work. Then you're like, no, not this one. Not this person. Not this one. But this one. Incompetent, complete. But this one. Say, give it to him. You're going to be led by the inward witness. See a guy. Say, oh, not this one. You see a lady. She seems very, very, some way, innocent. Very, I said, not this one. You must be, you open your eyes very well. And you pray about it. You say, not this one. Also, there's a witness. I'm receiving some witnesses. Yes. So, as you follow, you see that it will work. Sometimes you see a job does not pay well at all. Then you see another job. It really pays well. But as you pray about it, you expose your inward witness to, I mean, you expose yourself to working with the one that pays well. You see that there's something. Then you expose it to the one that is not. It's like, if I even had crown, I'll not work with you. Then you sense this peace. You are full of joy. Listen, follow the inward witness. People of God, not everything that glitters is gold. there are some brass metals plated or painted with gold. You don't need to wait to see a rust before you realize that that was brass. Funny enough, brass looks like gold. You see that? Yes. So, follow the inward witness all the time. Be innocent to the inward witness. Pray about it. Don't jump into it. Don't jump into it. Follow the inward witness. When things are wrong, pay attention to the inward witness. When you want to make a decision, pay attention to the inward witness. You want to handle issues, pay attention to the inward witness. Sometimes they'll be saying, don't go, and you should actually go. Sometimes they should be saying, go, and you should be actually being patient about it. Sometimes they'll be saying, go, and you should actually go. Sometimes they could be saying, don't go, and you should actually don't go. So now what do you have to do? Have you listened to all the situations I put? I'm saying that sometimes they'll be saying, go, and you should not go. Sometimes they'll be saying, don't go, and you should go. Sometimes they'll be saying, go, and you should actually go. And sometimes they'll be saying, don't go, and you should actually not go. But in all of these four cases, what should you do is to follow the inward witness. Look out for emotions of peace when they are saying you should not go, but there's peace of you going. When they are saying you should go, but there's peace of you going. Look out for all of these things. Be attentive to what God is leading you to do. Follow the inward witness. Follow the inward witness. Follow the inward witness. I have also told you that everything that I'm teaching you will not be exclusive to your pastor's instruction. So, if you have supposedly an inward witness, and your pastor is saying, do it like this, and you say, no, I have a witness of doing it like, you are on your own. You are on your own. Because sometimes the enemy can be cunning. If it's truly an inward witness, your pastor will have the same about the situation. He will. He will. The Spirit said I should go. The Spirit never said, you are the one saying. You are the one saying. You see, it quite takes some intelligence to deal with issues like this. A lot of intelligence, actually. Takes a lot of intelligence. Anyway, so I'm teaching like this so that some people don't take it off the cliff, because people hear wrongly. Yeah, people hear wrongly. And that's why I use that disclaimer. You'll be shocked what somebody is hearing. Oh, they are teaching us to be disobedient. And you must actually know the Holy Spirit well before another spirit inwardly attests to what your pastor is detesting you not to do. Because there are also circumstances like that. So the Spirit told me. That same Spirit, there's a Spirit that tells us, which is the Holy Ghost, to obey them that have a rule over us. He will not give you a different impression and give your pastor a different impression. If not, he has contradicted the word he puts down for all of us. Obey them that have a rule over you. That is actually God's word, which is also the Spirit. So you can't have any other spirit that tells you something that is not telling your pastor and is not very much seated with God's word. But I pray, and as I teach you, you're going to have inward impressions, and they're going to be clear. They're going to be clear. You wake up every morning, you have impressions. If there is a need to have them, in every situation, you have impressions. You have inward, you have witnesses. You wake up with burdens to pray, and you will not just suck them off. You just, hey, suck, away, burdens away. No, you will make time to pray. Is there anybody who could share with us their experience on the inward witness? Anyone, an experience you've had on the inward witness? Okay, just calling. Okay, Colleen, let's hear you. Great. Okay.
Please, good evening, Pastor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm fine, please, Pastor.
And I miss you, too.
I miss you, too, please, Pastor.
Let's hear your experience.
Yes, please. It was with regards to the application I was following up on. I think there was one vital thing that had to be included, and then I called to find out from someone, and the person was like, okay, if that thing is not included, you may not be able to like get the approval from the application, and then but some ways I was supposed to be disturbed, but I for some reason I was just at peace, and then it came to mind from our lessons we've had that okay, it could be a sign that the spirit is communicating that it would go through however the situation. And then when the applications came in, I think it was successful. I was able to go in successfully.
Amazing. So he had sort of like an inward witness on maybe a process that he was going through, and he had the calm, or let me call it a green light in the spirit as touching the applications that he had made. And then it turns out, okay, it went through. Now, it might not necessarily mean that whoever it is you spoke to, maybe even the curriculum clearly states that if you don't have it right, you will not go through. So, most definitely, there is God working, right? And that's what we just agree to, and we accept that God is working. But because if it were to be somebody else, they probably wouldn't have gone through. So we thank God for His Spirit in this case. So we're going to continue with our teaching on following the inward witness. I'm sorry, but there are some birds chirping. I don't know if you can hear them, but let me see. I think they're having a good time. So they're having conversations, like the way we're having conversations too. Yeah, so we're going to continue with the inward witness. And I, like I said, I will want us taking these teachings very seriously. And you will have to take some time to look into the teachings. If you just jumped in right now, it might not make a lot of sense to you, and the foundations would not be rightly built. So it's important that you take some time to listen to it from the beginning. And because you are learning this, let me tell you something. Let your blunders be few. Okay? It means let your mistakes be few. Okay? You do that by yielding. And that's undisputedly true, because sometimes you will miss it. Not you'll miss it as in you will not know. You'll know that this thing, but you will still in your own self follow something else. Then it turns out that, oh, I should have done this thing. Right? So, but don't miss it. More you have, more leads on yielding to the Spirit. So learn to respond. Learn to respond to things come to your mind, like call this person, check up on this person, text this person, right? Help this person, get to this person. And as you yield, it's going to become more easy to follow the leading of the Spirit. We looked at some Spirit-inspired emotions that are going to come from within. We looked at compassion. We looked at agony. We looked at grief. We looked at perceiving. All of these things, you must be using them. It's like they must become your arsenals. Become arsenals. Things that you pull out and you use. So from today, I should never hear any of you say, Pastor, I'm really confused. You say, no, I have the inward witness. I'll figure it out. Maybe not now. But Pastor, I believe God. Yeah. Yes. So we shouldn't have, I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm in the middle of crossroads. All of those, they are intelligent phrases they put together. No. It's wrong for a believer to talk like that. Very, very, very wrong. So make sure you don't have such words on your lips. Okay? Today we're going to look at another Spirit-inspired emotion, and it's going to be what I call a stare in the Spirit. Remember, all of these emotions are going to be from the Spirit. They're going to be via the Spirit. Right? Acts 17:16. I want the NLT, I want the TPT, and then the KJV. Okay, let's pause for the comments so we can have the scriptures more stable. Thank you. Acts 17:16. Okay, the KJV comes in first. I have the KJV here. Right. So now when Paul waited, great. Now, when Paul waited for them at Athens, the Spirit was stirred in him. when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Is that an inward witness? Yes. The spirit was stirred. So, KJV calls that the stirring of the spirit in him. Remember, I told you that you will have impressions of the inward witness once it is exposed to a situation. You need to expose it to a situation. You need to expose it to a situation. If you don't expose it to a situation, you might not just know, you might not know what it is. That's why I told you that when I wanted to get a place, I needed to go there myself. Or I needed to have an experience of whatever it is that is there. Or I needed to expose the information to my spirit to get to know what God will have me do concerning that. So Paul waited for them at Athens, and he looked into the city, and his spirit was stirred. Because what did he see? He saw something, that the city was wholly given to idolatry. In the NLT translation, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was so deeply troubled by all the idols he saw everywhere. So there's a troubling, you know. I'm going to show you how this happens. Right? Then in the TPT, it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was deeply troubled when he realized that the entire city was full of idols. Have you woken up troubled before? Let me tell you, you are a spirit, you have a soul that lives in a body. Don't look to whatever it is that you receive on the inside of your heart as just an emotion. Sometimes it's more than just an emotion. In fact, many times it's more than just an emotion. I realize that when I wake up, they are sort of like, let me call them lingering deposits on my heart from, let's say, an experience of an inward witness, maybe while present in my sleep. So you wake up with it, and there's just something that lingers. It lingers. And I told you that whenever you have an inward witness concerning something, I want you to pray about it. Pray about it. You know, there was a time one of you called me. One of the people here called me. And when she called, she was telling me, Pastor, I don't know what is happening to me. Pastor, I feel very heavy on my heart. Pastor, I don't know what is happening to me. Pastor, I feel very heavy on my heart. There's something wrong. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Everything is fine. I've called home. They said they are fine. I've called my sister. They said they're fine. And she began to cry in a way. I said, don't cry. Then I said, you know what? Because I know the inward witness. I said, let's speak in tongues. So we began to speak in tongues. And we spoke in tongues over a period of like 30 minutes, into the 35th minute or so. And then we had finally hit on what needed to be hit. And that was how the fellow was fine. Very, very fine, actually. Well, I probably could have used other gifts of the Spirit to know what's wrong. But the inward witness primarily, right? The inward witness primarily is so real. And that's why I want you to have it. You know, before, you know, the great William Branham passed on, there was a time Kenneth Hagin was with Gordon Lindsay. And I've forgotten the third person. So he was there with Gordon Lindsay. and another man of God. Try to remember his name. When I remember, I'll tell you. And they were in a place. And Kenneth Hagin told the three of them, you know, he said he needed to pray right now. There was something happening. He didn't know what it was. And they needed to get him a place to pray now. So, you know, they knew Kenneth Hagin for, you know, his spirit yieldedness. I mean, the ability to yield to the spirit many of the times, if not all of the times. So Gordon Lindsay speaks to the other man. Oh, what's his name? He speaks to the other man and says, boy, when we talk about Kenneth Hagin, we're talking about real spirit stuff. And Kenneth Hagin told him, if you don't get me a place to pray, it's heavy on me. I'm going to have to pray here and now. So they literally just get him a place. Then they all get into the room. Then he starts to pray. Then they all start to pray. So they pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Like for 30 minutes or so. Just a little bit over or so. Maybe even more. Then a tongue and interpretation comes forth or proceeds forth from Kenneth Hagin. Then it was in that place he spoke forth of the death of a forerunner prophet that was about to occur in the body of Christ. Then in Kenneth Hagin's words, he said that that happening was actually to save the body from something wrong that was happening. Not that God was going to kill, no. It means that God had offered his flesh up to the devil so his spirit could be saved. So Kenneth Hagin praise, give out the tongue, give out the interpretation. Now, Gordon Lindsay in that experience said he had already seen something like that. But now when Kenneth Hagin said it was quite dangerous. So it was during that time they tried to get onto William Branham. But at that time, he had also veered off a little into some things. Like he started some things. And so they could not get into him. It happened. An accident happened. He died. When he was just about dying, the same accident with his wife. His wife actually was dead with his son in another vehicle. And his son came to see them, you know, in a pool of blood with other people. And then he told his son, you know, to raise his hand. Somebody who was already dying. See, there's a power in laying on of hands. He told his son to raise his hand and put it on his dead wife. Because she had no, you know, pulse. And so, raise the hand, put it on the dead wife. The dead wife jacks back to life and he dies. And the wife lived years after his death. So he just told his son, just lift my hand and put it on her. She's going to come back to life. So he died and then she lived way longer. So that's a typical example of, you know, a stare. It means to irritate. It's to irritate or to provoke. Or there is an arousal to anger. You know, to burn, to provoke. And the Spirit does this. You know, when Paul waited for them at Athens, he saw the whole city giving to idolatry. And that emotion was an inward witness of the fact that Paul had to preach at Athens. He was compelled. He was provoked. Like, what is going on here? What's happening? Remember that the reaction from Paul within him was when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And this was expressed through him to the end that he would preach the gospel daily to the people in those cities. So it moved him. Then see what happens in verse 17. See what happens in verse 17. Acts 17:17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market, how many times? Daily with them that met with him. He spoke daily. So it was as a result of a stare in him that led him to the preaching of a synagogue. I mean, preaching and teaching in the synagogue daily and in the market square. The TPT is an interesting version. And every day he preached in the public square to whomever would listen. There's a stare towards wrong. There's a stare towards wrong. And you know, when I get to realize that people don't respond to this stare, it's sad. There's an irritation. An irritation. Yes, there's an irritation. So you must begin to, you see, the inward witness I've gotten to realize is a very key source for what people are saying wisdom for direction of your personal life. I'm telling you, it's a key source for wisdom for direction of your life. You see, there's a time of your life when you should be praying and studying. You are using it to be watching movies, going for parties. Falling in love. The inward witness will tell you that it's not the time for that exactly. It's not the time for that. You see, it's the inward witness that tells you what to do. You see, I was with somebody and I told the person that, and me, I follow the inward witness. So I can tell you something that, maybe, for example, I will not do this. That's my natural man, based on my reasonings, based on the things that I've drawn conclusions on, natural man. Then suddenly, there's a stir in my heart for that thing to be done. Then I go ahead and I do it. Then someone will say, but I thought you said you will not do this. No, it's not because I said in the natural man. But the moment the inward impression came, I had to stay. I had to jump in into it. And boy, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. That one, I know it. I believe it with my intestines. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. So when I do certain things, I know it's the Holy Ghost leading. Yeah, I know it's the Holy Ghost leading. And led. Quite recently, a few days back, I went somewhere and I was in an area I didn't know. So, and I do that many times, and it has not failed once. So I get out of the place, I don't know anywhere, and I just say, Lord, I need to get to this point, or I need to get to a spot that I know so that I could get a vehicle. And it was dark. So I just set out walking. Walking, 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 walking. It was not an audible voice. Deep down, I get to a junction. There is a stare or an impression towards a direction. I just take that direction. You know what? And one of the things that happens about the inward witness is that when you take that direction, you start hearing voices. No. It's wrong. It's not there. Take the right. No, take the right. Take the right. Say, oh, if you are not careful, eh? But I know it's by the grace of God. So I just smile. No, you are wrong. Take the right. So the mind is like, no, take the right. Take the left. Take the center. No. It's from within. It's not from without. That's what I'm teaching you. It's from within. It's not from without. So deep down, there's a light that guards the spirit. There'll be voices that will be loud enough. Don't listen to them. Deep down, it's from within. And people of God, I walked for like, if I'm not exaggerating, I walked for close to 40 minutes or 45 minutes of not knowing where I was going. But you see, there was this, let me try and explain it. There was this hearty feeling of, number one, that's it. Number two, you know, it's okay. You're learning. But in my head, you better turn back and pick an Uber. That'll be more easier for you. That'll be more simple. You know the way. Just pick an Uber. So I'm like, nope. I'm going to follow the inward witness. I get to a junction. And you know, you can even be on phone call. That's how led you are as a believer. I remember another time I was on phone call. So it's like my mind was not really on where I was going. So it's like I was wandering about and I didn't know where I was going, but I arrived at where I was supposed to be. So on the phone call, my mind is distracted. So I just get to a place. I'm like, okay. Then I just take, while I'm speaking to the person, I just get just think like that. I got to the place, and it's not once, it's not twice, it's not three times. I can't even count how many times. I mean, who walks for 40 minutes or maybe close to 50 minutes? That's the inward witness. The believer, I'm telling you, can hardly be wrong if he learns to follow that inward witness. Now, I teach this every year, but I believe that these teachings are going to lay out some clarity on your heart. That's not to say there will be no sort of things in your head that try to help you read, but you will know in your heart, this is it. You will not even mind losing out on anything. You will know that this is it. But there's also going to be other voices, things in your mind, things in your head, things that crop up, things that come up. The inward witness. You can't get it wrong. I'm telling you, you can't get it. Anybody that says, we got the inward witness, no, it's very difficult to get it wrong. That's why God places it that simple in our hearts. Remember, I told you from the beginning of my teaching how that Ezekiel, you know, prophecies makes us see that the Spirit of God is going to be within. It's not going to be from without. It's going to be from within. Now, even things that are called audible voices, let me tell you, audible voices are from within that have a resounding effect on the natural. So it's not natural. If someone was standing next to you, they would not hear the audible voice. The audible voice is going to be from within. Within. It's going to come from within. You hear it from within, but it's going to have like a resounding effect in the natural. You hear it probably maybe in your natural ear. But the voice in itself is not from external. It's going to come from within because he will be speaking to you audibly from within. From within. Some of you have this normally. You're sleeping. You hear your name very loud and clear. You wake up. Did somebody call me? It was not external. It was internal. The name just comes. Internal. Normally, as I said, I learned from Kenneth Hagin that the audible voice would be used in situations that demand prompt attention. Like, you need to do it now. Because if God doesn't speak that way, you see, you will fall into the trouble you are supposed to fall into. So the audible voice will come when there is something urgent to be dealt with. There's something to happen that you need to attend to right now. When you see that the audible voice comes, but it's also going to be from within. So Paul, looking at Athens, his spirit was stirred when he saw the whole city given to idolatry. It's the inward witness, a stir from within. Some of you receive stirs from within to take the ministry serious. There's a provoking. It's the Spirit of God. As I teach you this, you will become very, you know, good at following the inward witness. When you receive spirit-inspired emotions, you are going to be quick to respond. I told you, sometimes, in other synonyms, from other teachings, a restlessness, an agitation, an uneasiness. There's this, handle this with care. It's the spirit. It's the spirit. Handle this with care. Handle it carefully. Handle it carefully. Don't handle it lightly. Handle it carefully. You'll be shocked that that restlessness is the spirit's emotion to you. That's fear. Nobody, you see, I've had people look out for supernatural experiences, spooky experiences. They want to see a light bulb show forth. They want to see their bed shake. They want to see tenders roar. They want to see lightning strikes. They want to see strengthen before they actually believe. Oh, you are full of unbelief. You are full of unbelief. That's why God has to use all these physical things to tell you something small that He wants to tell you. You are just full of unbelief. That's why somebody who says that, say, when I sit before people and say, you said God has called you. I say, yes, the Lord has called me. And so, what did you hear Him telling you to follow Him? Did you hear clearly? That's for unbelievers. I have the inward witness. I know it that God has called me. I don't need to hear anything audibly that God has called me. It's from the witness He gives to me from the Spirit that He has called me. I don't need any spectacular vision. Even though people of God, I have visions, and I'm not this discarding the place of visions. Or I'm not discarding the place of seeing spooky things and all of that. I've seen things that I can't even share with you. Yeah, I've seen things that I can't share with you. But I'm telling you that I am very much convinced by the inward witness that God has called me. And I'm telling you, for somebody that has a witness of the call of God, and of course, everybody should have, don't let anybody talk you out because you don't have a supernatural experience. You don't have a supernatural experience that God has called you to the ministry. Did an angel appear to you? Have you received prophecy? I told you that those things are going to be for confirmations. Prophecies are going to be for confirmations of what you already have on the inside that God has told you to do. And I'm telling you, the inside are going to be witnesses. The way Paul was stirred, the way he was moved with compassion, the way he was moved with agony. In other times, he was moved with zeal. I told you that zeal is a very supernatural witness of the Holy Ghost to the call of God, to what God is doing on the earth, to winning souls, to getting people born again. It's a very supernatural thing. Did you receive the call of God? I have a witness. That one is more real. I'm telling you. You just need to be in the flesh to want something spooky. That is more real. That is more real. You see, someone can see a man of God preaching and teaching, and then a certain compassion is stirred in their heart towards being like that man of God. You don't know how powerful that is in the realm of the spirit. Yes, that is the call of God. That is the call of God. That's the call of God. It's a stir of the spirit to something that the spirit likes and adorns and wants to replicate in your own very life. That's why when you have the authentic call, you will never be happy that you never obeyed God. You will never be happy. You will make money, you will enjoy yourself, you will marry, there will be this void. Yes. It's also the spirit's inward impression to you that, boy, you are losing out on something that is very important. You're losing out on something very important. Again, you make money, you'll be fine. You do this, you'll be okay. You have things running. But when we sit you down and we ask you that, tell us what is actually going on, you say that, hey, all these things are running. But honestly, I feel very empty. Yeah. And normally you use profession to cover up for that. May the Lord help all of us. Yeah, that's the cover up. Because normally, I'll tell you, you see, the inward witness, now this is where your answer will come. The inward witness will show up. Or spirit-inspired emotions will show up in somber and calm regions. When you are alone, you will know that you missed it. Yes, when you are alone, you know that you missed it. So the only way to cover up for that is to get busy with things in the natural. So you see people, they have a rat race life of chasing one thing after the other. That's the only way. Because the moment you are left alone, the moment is like the night falls, you will feel that void that only God can fill. That's why when you go close to the partner, you feel like, oh, everything is fine. You go close to them, you feel like you leave the place, and now you say, ah, there's something wrong. The love I said I love for them when I love them when I'm really around them, and it's not really there. This is your way. There's a witness of the spirit in meditations when you do that. So you look out for it. When they're around, you'll be fine. Oh? You will be telling them, Sherry Coco, you're the love of my life. You're the best thing that's happened to me. I don't know. My heart yearns for you. It beats for you. But when you move away, you say, oh, when I'm away, it's like I don't even miss him. I don't even miss her. There's no miss here. I love you. You're the best thing. When you are away, it's like the thing is not really there like that. But when you come close, we love each other. We are to go to buy pizza. You say, oh, this is about, when you move away, you go to pray. You cut off the communication for some 3-4 days. You realize that I think I'm okay. Though I couldn't really live, but. You see them, it's like they are beautiful, handsome, so you are in love. You move away, you see that the inward witness is impressive. From these teachings, you're going to be very led by the Spirit of God. You're going to have inward witnesses of the Holy Ghost, witnesses of the Spirit of God, witnesses of the power of God, witnesses of the grace of God. You're going to be stirred, you're going to be provoked. You see, it means when you also see wrong. See, the spirit can provoke you towards a wrong. Now, these are not natural inclinations to anger in the flesh. No. It's a provoking to do what is right, to stand for what is right, to portray what is right, to stick to what is right, to be that element of change in what is right is a stir of the spirit. So when you go back to your classrooms, you see that your classrooms never has morning devotions. Sometimes there'll be a provoking. There's something that arises on the inside of you to take the stand and to implement what God's word says in that region. And that's what Paul is doing. Right after the provoking, right after the stir, he's found in the synagogue disputing the Jews and the devoted persons. And daily, he's at the market square preaching and teaching to everybody who will listen to his voice. God is helping us. You can't but preach. You can't but disciple. And, you know, the extent to which you practice the inward witness, the more stronger and more real it becomes to you. It becomes real. It becomes real. Now, again, it's not a function of the mind. It's not a function of reasoning or use of suspicion, which is very carnal. It's a spirit-inspired emotion. I pray that the Lord helps us to yield also. And we will also make up our minds to yield. I yield. I don't hold back. I yield to God's Spirit. The yielding will not be the preaching. The yielding will not be the no. Not to this. So you can see that this, when the Spirit gets moving, when the Spirit gets to send out impressions, don't hold back. Don't be in doubt. Don't be in confusion. Yield to what the Spirit of God is saying. There's a mighty flow of God's Spirit in our lives today. It's like we'll know him when he says something. We're going to know him. We're going to know him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word, starting the inward witness. In Jesus' name. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for insight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to follow in. And disclaimer, the inward witness, the Holy Spirit, teaches you to obey them that have rule over you. Don't say, I had a witness. The witness says that I should go against the word of my pastor. No. No. No, it never happens. Except your pastor is a thief. He's a liar. He wants the worst for you and not the best for you. That's not what God teaches us to do. So we must be, you know, very sensitive. Pray about it. I believe there will be, oh, there's going to be more clarity as we go. And you'll be sharp with a witness. Yeah, you will always be like spot on. Like your life will always be spot on. You know, okay, it's time to walk in this. It's time to do this. Again, the inward witness is not a vision. It's not a vision. It's not an audible voice. It's not an inward voice. No, it is a witness. It means there's a bearing or an attestation to a fact. Normally a yes or no, a red light or a green light. I love you all. You're dismissed.